Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this Oasis podcast. We've been in a series on the call of God, and we've kind of went from the call to the name of place. Now we're going into the book of Acts, and we're looking at operations of the early church. And when you look at the early church, they weren't perfect. And they had to learn to maneuver in the world that they lived in and rely upon the power of God. So let me open in a word of prayer. And then we're going to start this series. And this is the second one in the series. So go back and listen into the first one on apostolic truth. So Heavenly Father, we thank you. Ears to hear. That 2025 is the year that ears hear. And so, Father, we just thank you that Jesus, you're right here helping us. You walk in your church. You love your church. You love these people listening. You love them so much that you're going to help develop us to be fruitful so that you're able to bear fruit through us. And so, Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to continue here. So, John chapter 6, we talked about the first problem that the church encounters in John chapter 6 and verse 1, and it's neglect. I hear stories all the time where people say, I don't even think my church cares about me, that they even know I exist. I mean, they like my offering, but I'm not sure they even know I exist. And so there's different ways that neglect can happen. And what the goal is that we get it out of our lives, okay? And then we work to get it out of what? The church. We love the church. This is not about criticizing the church. It's about how do we address and how do we move forward and plug the holes, right? We don't want the ship to sink. Jesus loves his body. He loves us. And he's working on us. He's working on me, and he's working on you. So in Acts chapter 6, neglect. So there was neglect, and that was the first problem in the church. And with that neglect, there was also walls. The Hebrew Jews, they kind of looked down on the, Greek Jews. And so that's a whole nother lesson concerning walls. And ultimately, those walls go back to the Tower of Babel, don't they? I mean, that's where major division came in. And the local church is not to be, in the vision, in the image of the Tower of Babel. It's to be in the image of Jesus. And when you get a revelation of him, he's so loving, he's so kind, he's so strong. And the church belongs to him. And he has said that he walks in the midst of the church. So the goal of this is how do we let the Lord walk in our midst and not get in his way? How do we do what we're called to do with him in his name and to allow him to walk into the church? Now, so here's the apostles, the 12 called the multitude of the disciples to them. And they said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve food on the table, right? We have a very high calling, and that's the ministry of the word. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the multitude. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, and Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom when they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. A great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And then it begins to talk about Stephen. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. So let's just pause there. there had to be a correction. Now, the epistles deal with really the ins and outs of walking in love with each other and how we should treat each other. The book of Acts kind of gives a general answer, a general picture of how the church had to move forward and what it had to do. And so actually, you need both. You need the epistles to understand how to maneuver in Acts, okay? So these apostles realize we have to be men of prayer. We have to be men set apart with a dependency upon Jesus. We talked about that. His name has to be integral to calling. You cannot fulfill God's purpose for your life without an intimacy with the name of Jesus. And we looked at one part, one facet, just in the earlier podcast of prayer. We pray to the Father that we're to be before the Father's presence with the name of Jesus, in the name, and standing our ground boldly before Him with faith in the name of Jesus. Jesus is not praying for us in this sense. He does pray for us, but not concerning this type of praying. No, He said, you pray. You go directly to the Father. So we have to understand the first understanding of Christianity is a people who have a confidence to go to the Father and to stand before Him and to wait upon Him. And you do it by faith in the name of Jesus. That is church. That is Christianity. It's not about programs. It's not about busyness. It's about a people who are set apart to stand in the Father's presence where the Lord Himself can walk into the midst and minister to His people, and then using also His servants, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, and the role that we play. So the other thing is they understand the fullness of the Holy Ghost. They understood you could be full of the Holy Ghost and you can also not be full of the Holy Ghost. And obviously they knew the difference because they said the requirement for these deacons is you had to be full of the Holy Ghost. And so they understood this fullness of the presence of God principle. And I think these things are crucial, that anybody who starts getting close to leadership influence in the church, there's certain things you have to look at, certain things pertaining to discipleship. Do they have? And of course, in the epistles, Paul writes a lot about that. So we're not going to get into that. But there has to be certain discipleship characteristics in leaders. And so they choose some men out and they pray over them. Now the church is increasing. Why? Because the church is correcting neglect. They're putting people in place in order to make sure neglect, especially in this arena, is dealt with. And that's what happened here. They took an area of neglect of the congregation, and they found people full of the Holy Spirit and love, really it's love, and they put them into the arena of neglect so that that neglect can never arise again, and they plugged the gap. The murmuring stops, the complaining, the anger, maybe bitterness. They stop it with people who are now in that gap of need, who now are bringing the fullness of the Holy Spirit into that arena and ministrating it. I want you to see that. That is releasing God's love into the body. In the earlier podcast, in the first podcast on this title, I talked about the church that I was able to be a part of in Richmond, Virginia for a season where there was such a move of God, but the structure was there for love to flow. And you'd be surprised. There's, you know, I know we cry out for revival, but there's a lot of things the Lord wants to do if we just walk in love and care for each other, okay? And if you're called into that pastoral ministry of church leadership, you know, when you put that hat on, that title, that calling, You don't get to pick and choose. You stand before the Lord's presence and the people that he sets into the church you love, and you love with his love. You don't say, well, they're strong, they don't need me. That is wrong thinking. It's terrible thinking. Even as I say it, I hope that people listening would go, ooh, ah, Lord, take that out of me because I have that in me. No, you got to get that out of you. That is not the love of God, and that is not the love and the care of the saints. When people come into a church and they're giving their tithes and their offerings, they're standing faithfully in the presence of the Lord at those altars, then the priests of that house have a responsibility to officiate care. They're not only eating from those altars when people are bringing their tithes and offerings, but the Lord is also pouring out what he said. I'm going to pour out my spirit. One way that he pours out his spirit is through the care of the shepherds or the priests of that altar. Do you love me? Feed, care for my sheep. So you don't get to pick and choose. Well, I don't like, they have a different personality. I don't like them. And I'm going to speak about them. Oh, those things happen. You know, Paul told the early church, one of the churches, he said, I joyfully behold your order. In prayer, he knew how that church was operating. Now, that's pretty amazing. And part of the order in church are the words that are being spoken. You have the leadership, they're in prayer. And then you have the helpers. We call them assistant pastors many times, staff pastors. And they're literally to be the flow of the grace that comes from the leaders who are praying. And they can't be waddling around acting like now they're apostles because they've been there so long. And they get to, you know, just throw out their judgments on everything. No. I remember the church I worked at in Richmond, Virginia. There wasn't loose talk. I don't think it's because we were so righteous. I think we were so busy focusing on following the Lord. But there wasn't idle talk about people building walls and blocking. A lot of churches lose people because of the chatter with those who are maybe in a form of leadership, and they feel because they're in a form, they're just so easily can freely speak how they want and assess, and they build walls, and it blocks the Spirit of God, and churches have problems because of that. No, you can't do these things. You can't do these things. There has to be a well of the love and faith that's speaking correctly, that's drawing upon the name of the Lord and allowing him to go before and to walk in the midst of the congregation. Now, as these guys have made these decisions, apostolically order, the church begins to grow. Now, there was a wonderful church that I was involved in Richmond, Virginia. The Lord spoke to the pastor. You need to hire Eric. And I wasn't out there filling out applications. I obeyed and I showed up. He didn't know me, but the Lord sent me. And the Lord spoke to him. And he was a man that would not hire from outside of the church. He wanted to know the people in the church. But in my case, it was a little bit different. The Lord spoke to him. You need to hire him. And when he hired me, there was a wonderful ministry down in Tampa, Florida, that was doing all kinds of inner city outreaches. And then they were going to do a big outreach out in Los Angeles, California. So our pastors went out there, saw it. God began to burst something in them. And they came back and wanted to implement this style of outreach into Richmond, Virginia. And then here comes Eric on staff. Now, I can't say that I was anything special, except there was a call on me. There was apostolic grace on me. I can't tell you that I knew that. But when they put me into a position, then they had a certain, they had a staff now of people that could carry this move of God. It wasn't because of me, but I could carry it and be faithful with it and to be faithful to walking with that team. And the Lord trusted us with that. And I think he also knew he could trust us. And because of that, now all these outreaches are going on and people's lives are being changed and the church is growing. Did the church grow because of you? Yes and no. Not solely because of me, but because I obeyed, got into the place, and the apostle over the church heard the Lord, and he hired me, put me into a position, and then the Lord went before us all, and there was a structure. Moves of God just can't sit on anybody's shoulders. Not everybody can carry these things. And not everybody's going to be faithful with their words. That's huge. You got to hear me on this. Your words are huge. What you speak is huge. And a lot of people don't want to believe that, but it is huge. Jesus talked about it all the time. He said, your idle words are you're going to have to give an account to. Well, I'm talking to myself right now because we all do it. We all speak words and then we go, why did I say that? You do it, I do it. And we need mercy. You know, Lord, please forgive me. And you're no different. So we just all just maybe say a little prayer right now and say, Lord, help me. I've said things that I wish I hadn't said. And he's merciful. He does forgive us. Isn't that wonderful? He said he would forgive us and he does forgive us. And so you forgive yourself. So the church now is like on in super growth mode. And there are signs and wonders because the order is right. When the order is right, the Lord can really move, okay? The order of the church affected the harvest. That is a tough one for people to understand. The order of the church affects the harvest. Disorder in the church affects the harvest. The church is a harvesting instrument of the Lord. How the church operates, the vision, how things are structured, has an effect on the harvest. And so, you know, maybe for the next 10 minutes, I could just say the same thing over and over. The local church has an effect on the harvest. Whether you're going for the harvest or not, it has an effect. A negative effect, a positive effect. But it's not in between effect. It's either negative or positive. Either there's a movement into harvest and affecting harvest, bringing in harvest, or there's just no vision at all, and it's just about meetings. And so we have to challenge ourselves. Where are we at with these things? Because the local church has an effect on the local harvest. Billy Graham may not show up to your little town. In fact, Billy Graham's not going to show up at all because he's already in heaven. But the point is, you're in your little town. And the Lord wants to walk in your midst. And he wants you to develop that pressure of faith and confidence in his name so that he can lead you in the calling and purposes of God and put things into order to have an effect. Now, one thing I really love about this is that the priests began to come to Christ, come to the Lord in faith, because they had been serving at the temple for years and they'd never seen miracles, okay? They never seen anything. It was boring. And so then the apostles, they start, you know, the apostles of Jesus start doing all these miracles. And so, you know, okay, Jesus did miracles. We know that. And now the apostles, okay. But then when people like Stephen and Philip, these people who were non-apostles, are doing miracles, that was a convincing factor of these priests at the temple who realized the Shekinah glory of God is operating on the church. It's not operating on this particular building. And so they were converting. They were putting their faith into Christ and coming into that temple, the body of Christ. And so, in closing on this point, is that the structure of the local church does matter, and it does affect the harvest. Now, as we look at this, obviously Stephen, he gets tried, and they stone him, they martyr him, and so it starts a great persecution against the church. Now, this is now, we're kind of getting into where we're going to start looking at operations concerning the harvest. So I'm going to close here on this podcast, because I don't want to begin to get into the next podcast. I want that 25-minute segment devoted into what we're going to talk about in apostolic movements of laborers. So let me right now, let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that in the name of Jesus, that you are teaching us, ministering to us, showing us apostolic truths that, Lord, maybe we don't see these things in our local church, but we can pray. We can begin to ask you to begin to bring revelation and understanding into these things so that the local church can begin to blossom. Boy, that's what we want, and that's what you want. We love the local church. We love the local leadership, and we bless. And Lord, I know we all make mistakes, so we just ask for your mercy and grace over our lives and over our leaders. Lord, just love and mercy and grace. And where wrong words have been spoken, blocking things, damning things up in the realm of the Spirit, Lord, we just ask that those words would be cleansed, that they would just be washed, so that the way would be opened up again in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray this. And, you know, and that's a wonderful prayer. Many years ago in England, I was over at Pooh Bridge, and you know, where all the stories of Winnie the Pooh, and Pooh Bridge is where they would play Pooh Sticks, and they would throw the sticks into the water, and they kind of would race down under the bridge. Well, we went and visited the actual bridge that the stories talk about, and the water, the creek, was so full of limbs and debris that the river, just the waterway, wasn't really flowing at all. And so you know what I did? I jumped over the fence. And a bunch of young kids, when I went over the fence, they looked at their moms, and then they were jumping over the fence, and we were all down into that little creek of water. We're pulling the sticks out, and we're moving the debris, and all of a sudden, we've cleared it out. Now the water is flowing, and you can play Pooh Sticks now. And there was a lady, you know, a good friend of ours. She goes, "Oh, Eric, that's so prophetic." And there's some lady there, she's not even a Christian. She's like, "Pathetic? What's she talking about? Why is this pathetic?" And didn't have any understanding what you know, our dear friend was saying about, you know, prophetic, moving debris out. And that's really what I'm believing. These podcasts are going to help move debris out so that the river can flow. God wants the river to flow. He wants us to flow. And sometimes there's dynamic moves of God that he sovereignly chooses. And other things, he just says, you work it out and you get the order right. And just the order itself brings a flow, because there is a river already flowing. And so we want to clear it up. We want it to flow. And that's what we believe these podcasts are for. Now go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. Get our School of Acts book. There's a lot in there. I tell you what, there's different ways to study it. We're actually going through the book now. We're not doing the modules. The modules are on the website. You can go through the modules. Those are wonderful. Listen, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. This is Eric Casto. Bye-bye.